unto thee, O Lord. Do I lift up my soul unto thee, O Lord.
Hello, you're listening to the In Search of God's Instructions podcast. I'm your host, Shirley Vinson, and every week I invite you to join me for support and encouragement on your journey to a deeper understanding of the spiritual way that God wants His children to live. We are all on the spiritual walk of life together, but no matter the storms you face, if you search for His instructions, He will bring you through. Let us begin with the prayer. Abba Yah, our Father, our God, thank you for being with us through another week. Be with us today as we study your word in the book of Ezekiel. We know that we're living in these last days, and many of us are seeking your instructions according to the things that are written in the Bible and according to the times that we're living in this life. We're going through lots of turmoils and changes in our lives and the nations all over the world. Some people are being affected in devastating ways because of this coronavirus and COVID-19. People are dying daily by the thousands in parts of the world. We know that Yeshua, our Messiah, is soon to return to this earth. And for those of us who are seeking His return, we're asking you for guidance. We're asking you for wisdom, understanding, knowledge, and discernment as we try to prepare ourselves for His imminent return. Strengthen us through the difficulties that we go through daily, we ask, Father. Give us mercy, bless us with patience, and most of all, Father, bless us with the heart to endure the spiritual and physical race as we prepare ourselves to get through these perilous times that are ahead of us. All these things we ask and pray for in the name of Yeshua, our Savior, our Messiah, our sacrificial Lamb. Amen. This podcast is not a podcast that condones anti-Semitism, anti-Catholicism, or hatred in any way towards any religious group. This podcast is for the purpose of helping us to understand the words of God as written in the Bible and as they apply to our daily lives as we seek out His instructions. Turn with me, please, to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 23. On our last podcast, we took a look at why these books are so important and how they are relevant to the times that we're living in today. We know that the Messiah is soon to return, and we know that the time on this earth is short for mankind. God has revealed to us through the book of Daniel that He will soon set up the millennial kingdom here on earth, and Yeshua will be the ruler of this kingdom. But before this takes place, He has also revealed to us through the words written in these books that perilous times are coming in these days that we are now living in. Things are going to get worse by the day. For some people, their lives may not be severely impacted by these changes, as other people's lives will be impacted. For those who want to know what it is they should be doing to prepare for the Messiah's imminent return and to possibly survive getting through the times that we're living in these days before His return, we're seeking the scriptures and we're trying to leave no stone unturned as far as what we know that's happening in the world today. So let us begin with chapter 23 of the book of Ezekiel. The word of the Lord came again to me, saying, Son of man, there were two women, the daughters of one mother. They committed harlotry in Egypt. They committed harlotry in their youth. Their breasts were their embrace. Their virgin bosom was their pressed. Their names, the elder, Ahola and Aholabah, her sister. They were mine, and they bore sons and daughters. As for their names, Samaria is Ahola, and Jerusalem is Aholabah. Ahola played the harlot, even though she was mine, and she lusted for her lovers, the neighboring Assyrians, who were clothed in purple, captains and rulers, all of them desirable young men, horsemen riding on horses. Thus she committed her harlotry with them, all of them choice men of Assyria. And with all for whom she lusted, with all their idols, she defiled herself. She has never given up her harlotry brought from Egypt, for in her youth they had lain with her, pressed her virgin bosom, and poured out their immorality upon her. Therefore I have delivered her into the hand of her lovers, into the hand of the Assyrians, for whom she lusted. They uncovered her nakedness, took away her sons and daughters, and slew her with the sword. She became a byword among the women, for they had executed judgment on her. Now, although her sister, Aholibah, saw this, she became more corrupt in her lust than she, and in her harlotry more corrupt than her sister's harlotry. She lusted for the neighboring Assyrians, captains and rulers, clothed most gorgeously, horsemen riding on horses, all of them desirable young men. Then I saw that she was defiled. Both took the same way. But she increased her harlotry. She looked at men portrayed on the wall, images of Chaldeans portrayed in vermilion, girded with belts around their waists, flowing turbans on their heads, all of them looking like captains, in the manner of the Babylonians of Chaldea, the land of their nativity. As soon as her eyes saw them, she lusted for them, and sent messengers to them in Chaldea. Then the Babylonians came to her in the bed of love, and they defiled her with their immorality. So she was defiled by them, and alienated herself from them. She revealed her harlotry and uncovered her nakedness. Then I alienated myself from her, as I had alienated myself from her sister. Yet she multiplied her harlotry in calling to remembrance the days of her youth, when she had played the harlot in the land of Egypt. For she lusted for her paramours, whose flesh is like the flesh of donkeys, and whose issue is like the issue of horses. Thus you called to remembrance the lewdness of your youth, when the Egyptians pressed your bosom because of your youthful breast. Therefore, Aholibah, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will stir up your lovers against you, from whom you have alienated yourself, and I will bring them against you from every side, the Babylonians, all the Chaldeans, Pekod, Shur, Kor, all the Assyrians with them, all of them desirable young men, governors and rulers, captains and men of renown, all of them riding on horses. And they shall come against you with chariots, wagons, and war horses, with a horde of people. They shall array against you buckler, shield, and helmet all around. I will delegate judgment to them, and they shall judge you according to your judgments. I will set my jealousy against you, and they shall deal furiously with you. They shall remove your nose and your ears, and your remnant shall fall by the sword. They shall take your sons and your daughters, and your remnant shall be devoured by fire. They shall also strip you of your clothes and take away your beautiful jewelry. Thus I will make you cease from your lewdness and your harlotry brought from the land of Egypt, so that you will not lift your eyes to them, nor remember Egypt any more. Thus I will make you cease your lewdness and your harlotry from the land of Egypt, so that you will not lift your eyes to them, nor remember Egypt any more. For thus says the Lord God, surely I will deliver you into the hand of those you hate, into the hand of those from whom you alienated yourself. They will deal hatefully with you, take away all you have worked for, and leave you naked and bare. The nakedness of your harlotry shall be uncovered, both your lewdness and your harlotry. I will do these things to you because you have gone as a harlot after the Gentiles, because you have become defiled by your idols. You have walked in the way of your sister. Therefore, I will put her cup in your hand. Thus says the Lord, you shall drink of your sister's cup, the deep and wide one. You shall be laughed to scorn and held in derision. It contains much. You shall be filled with drunkenness and sorrow, the cup of horror and desolation. the cup of your sister Samaria. You shall drink and drain it. You shall break its shards and tear at your own breasts. For I have spoken, says the Lord God. Therefore thus says the Lord God, because you have forgotten me and cast me behind your back, therefore you shall bear the penalty of your lewdness and your harlotry. The Lord also said to me, Son of man, will you judge Oholah and Oholibah? Then declare to them their abominations. For they have committed adultery, and blood is on their hand. They have committed adultery with their idols, and even sacrificed their sons, whom they bore to me, passing them through the fire, to devour them. Moreover, they have done this to me. They have defiled my sanctuary on the same day, and profaned my Sabbaths. For after they had slain their children for their idols, on the same day they came into my sanctuary to profane it. And indeed, thus they have done in the midst of my house. Furthermore, you sent for men to come from afar, to whom a messenger was sent, and there they came. And you washed yourself for them, painted your eyes, and adorned yourself with ornaments. You sat on a stately couch with the table prepared before it, on which you had my incense and my oil. The sound of a carefree multitude was with her, and Sabians brought from the wilderness with men of the common sort, who put bracelets on their wrists and beautiful crowns on their heads. Then I said concerning her who had grown old in adulteries, will they commit harlotry with her now, and she with them? Yet they went into her as men go into a woman who plays the harlot. Thus they went into Oholah and Oholibah, the lewd women. But righteous men will judge them after the manner of adulteresses and after the manner of women who shed blood, because they are adulteresses and blood is on their hands. For thus says the Lord God, bring up an assembly against them. Give them up to trouble and plunder. The assembly shall stone them with stones and execute them with their swords. They shall slay their sons and their daughters and burn their houses with fire. Thus I will cause lewdness to cease from the land, that all women may be taught not to practice your lewdness. They shall repay you for your lewdness, and you shall pay for your idolatrous sins. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Now, consider here for a moment. Yah is saying here that the two women he married, which by now were the northern tribes of Israel and the southern tribes of Israel. Think about the fact that the northern tribes consisted of all the tribes of Israel with the exception of Judah and Benjamin. And God used the Assyrians to take the northern tribes into captivity, which was about 700 years prior to him sending Judah into a second captivity. When we look at this, we see here that the Assyrians were the ones that God used to drive out the northern kingdom. Later on, after Jerusalem had gone into the first captivity, and God brought them back to rebuild the temple, to reoccupy the land, it was during that time that they started committing the whoredoms that he's talking about here. And this is what led them into going into captivity for the second time. And in the second captivity, the southern tribe consists of the tribes of Judah and Benjamin and some of the remnant who had left the northern kingdom earlier and joined themselves to the southern kingdom of Judah. And some of the priests were also there, because remember, each tribe had to have set land apart for the priests within that particular tribal community. When God sent Judah into captivity the second time, it was through the Atlantic slave trade. And so now here we are, the descendants of this captivity, that was brought here through the Atlantic slave trade and taken to other countries also through the Atlantic slave trade, are we not still committing harlotry on God today? Because this is what God looks at as harlotry, idol worship, taking our sons and daughters that he has blessed us with and sacrificing them to idol gods, coming into his sanctuary and profaning his sanctuary, profaning his Sabbath by turning our backs on his Sabbath. Because if you know that you are of one of the tribes of Israel, and God has revealed to you in these last days, as he revealed to me, that my descendants are of the tribe of Judah, brought here on slave ships. I'm living amongst Gentiles in a Gentile nation, as all of the tribes of Israel, you're living amongst Gentiles in a pagan nation. Ask yourself, are they keeping the Sabbath? Is there even an opportunity for you to say, I am not worshiping on Sunday. I am not going to profane God's Sabbath by turning away from God's Sabbath and worshiping on Sunday instead? Are they keeping the instructions that God gave them to keep, to include his feast days, like the blowing of the trumpets, Passover, all of those things that he said are my feast days? Are we taking those feast days and ignoring them completely and exchanging them out for Christmas, New Year's, Thanksgiving, all of the things he tells us not to do when we are among the pagan nations are the very things that we are still doing to this day, aborting our children, because aborting our children is basically sacrificing our children. Yes, God says we're not to do these things. He drove our ancestors out of the land for doing these things. And now here we are in the last days. His Messiah will soon come back to earth and set up his kingdom on earth. The only people who's going to be a part of that kingdom are going to be those people who currently are doing their best to live their lives according to the instructions that God has given us, which means we're not to be whoring against God. It's time for God's people to stop in our tracks and come back to Yah to do the things that he has instructed us to do, even though they may be difficult in a world surrounded by people who's walking contrary to what he has instructed us to do. You must remember here, we are the people of God. We are not the people of the pagan nations. We're not the people of the world. And we don't want to solidify the fact that we will forever be separated from him if we don't give these things up while we have the opportunity to do so. Chapter 24. Again, in the ninth year, in the tenth month, on the tenth day of the month, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, write down the name of the day, this very day. The king of Babylon started his siege against Jerusalem this very day, and utter a parable to the rebellious house, and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, put on a pot, and also pour water into it. Gather pieces of meat in it, every good piece, the thigh and the shoulder. Fill it with choice cuts. Take the choice of the flock. Also pile bones under it. Make it boil well, and let the cuts simmer in it. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, woe to the bloody city, to the pot whose scum is in it, and whose scum is not gone from it. Bring it out piece by piece, on which no lot has fallen, for her blood is in her midst. She set it on top of a rock. She did not pour it on the ground to cover it with dust, that it may rise up fury and take vengeance. I have set her blood on top of a rock, that it may not be covered. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, woe to the bloody city! I too will make the pyre great, heat on the wood, kindle the fire, cook the meat well, mix in the spices, and let the cuts be burned up. Then set the pot empty on the coals, that it may become hot and its bronze may burn, that its filthiness may be melted in it, that its scum may be consumed. She has grown weary with lies, and her great scum has not gone from her. Let her scum be in the fire. In your filthiness is lewdness, because I have cleansed you, and you were not cleansed. You will not be cleansed of your filthiness any more, till I have caused my fury to rest upon you. I, the Lord, have spoken it. It shall come to pass, and I will do it. I will not hold back, nor will I spare, nor will I relent according to your ways and according to your deeds. They will judge you, says the Lord God. Also the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, behold, I take away from you the desire of your eyes with one stroke. Yet you shall neither mourn nor weep, nor shall your tears run down. Sigh in silence. Make no mourning for the dead. Bind your turban on your head and put your sandals on your feet. Do not cover your lips, and do not eat man's bread of sorrow. So I spoke to the people in the morning, and at evening my wife died. And the next morning I did as I was commanded. And the people said to me, Will you not tell us what these things signify to us, that you behave so? Then I answered them, and the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Speak to the house of Israel. Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I will profane my sanctuary, your arrogant boast, the desire of your eyes, the delight of your soul, and your sons and daughters, whom you left behind, shall fall by the sword. And you shall do as I have done. You shall not cover your lips, nor eat man's bread of sorrow. Your turbans shall be on your head, and your sandals on your feet. You shall neither mourn nor weep, but you shall pine away in your iniquities and mourn with one another. Thus Ezekiel is a sign to you, according to all that he has done, you shall do. And when this comes, you shall know that I am the Lord God. And you, O son of man, will it not be in the day when I take from them their stronghold, their joy, their glory, the desire of their eyes, and that on which they set their minds, their sons and their daughters, that on that day one who escapes will come to you to let you hear it with your ears? On that day your mouth will be open to them who has escaped, and you shall speak and no longer be mute. Thus you will be a sign to them, and they shall know that I am the Lord. If you go back and read the book of Leviticus, God even gave them instructions on how to clean their pots that they were cooking in from one meal to another meal. And one of the things he definitely said to them was they were not to eat the blood, meaning they were to drain the blood from the animal that they would be cooking out on the ground and cover the blood with dust. Our ancestors had become so disobedient that they basically abased themselves to do things the way the nations around them were doing, because they desired to be like the nations around them. It took generations for them to be infiltrated by the false priests and the false prophets and start teaching them the things that they were learning from the other nations, which corrupted them. Because remember, when God brought our ancestors to Mount Sinai and went into covenant with them, they said to God, all that you say, we will do. Meaning that they accepted the covenant of marriage, becoming a peculiar people to God above all the other people on the earth. He chose them to bring them out of all the other people on the earth to make them his people on earth, to teach all the other nations around them how they should live. And you see that when you go back and you read in the books, say the books of Torah, particularly in Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. But they had corrupted themselves through the generations by not teaching the people, and by bringing in idol worship, and worshiping false gods like the other nations around them, eating unclean things, cooking in unclean pots. You know how when you cook something in a pot, when it comes to meat, and these days, this can be almost any type of meat. I've noticed when I go to the store and I purchase chicken parts, I'd rather purchase parts of the chicken without bones, because it became very obvious to me years ago. I would buy chicken parts, and if I baked them in the oven, I became disgusted at the fact that, you know what? When I pulled out the chicken to check on the chicken, I'm seeing blood seeping out from the meat, which told me that they are no longer into draining the blood from the animals when they butcher these animals for the markets anymore. And they used to do that. America used to do that. And now they no longer do that. If the animal has sickness, there were certain parts of the meat that they would not allow on the shelves. Now they put almost everything on the shelves because they become disobedient to God. And that's how we are living in the nations today. Even those of us who are mixed in with the Gentile nations because of our ancestors' disobedience to God in the first place, by not doing the things that he had instructed them to do. And as a result of this, we are having to go back and learn what we should be doing. Because remember, for 200 years, our ancestors were not allowed to read or write, didn't know who their God was, had no identity. They were stripped of their identity, of their culture, and they had nothing to pass on to their children, even as an inheritance when it came to the Word of God. But praise God now. He is opening our eyes to things. And we know we are not to eat the meat with the blood still in it. We are to drain the blood from the meat. Otherwise, when you cook it, whether you're cooking it through baking it or whether you're cooking it through fire, no matter how you're cooking it, you will see the blood coming out of the flesh, draining down into the pan. And according to the Word of God, there's a particular method of cleaning the dish when any blood is in a pot before you are to reuse that pot. Chapter 25. The word of the Lord came to me again, saying, Son of man, set your face against the Ammonites and prophesy against them. Say to the Ammonites, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, because you say, aha, against my sanctuary, when it was profane, and against the land of Israel, when it was desolate, and against the house of Judah, when they went into captivity. Indeed, therefore, I will deliver you as a possession to the men of the east, and they shall set their encampments among you, and make their dwellings among you. They shall eat your fruit, and they shall drink your milk. And I will make Rabbah a stable for the camels, and Ammon a resting place for flocks. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. For thus says the Lord God, because you clapped your hands and stamped your feet and rejoice in your heart with all your disdain for the land of Israel. Indeed, therefore, I will stretch out my hand against you and give you as plunder to the nations. I will cut you off from the peoples, and I will cause you to perish from the countries. I will destroy you, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, because Moab and Seir say, look, the house of Judah is like the nations. And that's what they did. The house of Judah became so corrupted, you couldn't tell them from the pagan nations around them. That's what our ancestors did. Therefore, behold, I will clear the territory of Moab of cities, on its frontier, the glory of the country, Beth Jeshimoth, Baal, Meon, and Kirjath Jearim. To the men of the east I will give it as a possession, together with the Ammonites, and the Ammonites may not be remembered among the nations. And I will execute judgments upon Moab, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, because of what Edom did against the house of Judah by taking vengeance and has greatly offended by avenging itself on them. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, I will also stretch out my hands against Edom, cut off man and beast from it, and make it desolate from Teman, Dedan shall fall by the sword. And I will lay my vengeance on Edom by the hand of my people Israel, that they may do in Edom according to my anger and according to my fury. And they shall know my vengeance, says the Lord God. Thus says the Lord God, because the Philistines dealt vengefully and took vengeance with a spiteful heart to destroy because of the old hatred. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, I will stretch out my hand against the Philistines, and I will cut off the Cherethites and destroy the remnant of the seacoast. I will execute great vengeance on them with furious rebukes, and they shall know that I am the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon them. God is telling us here that the nations that caused Judah to fall will not go unpunished. And I guess whenever you have any country that God has lifted up and the people seem to be blessed enormously within the walls of that country, others who come in to visit will take a look at the things that they are doing, will try to learn about their character and their values, and they will make a decision. Can I overthrow this kingdom by war? Or is there some other value that the citizens and the leaders of this country hold that I can otherwise plot to take it down without a war? And most of the times, they plot to take it down without ever firing a single arrow or raising a single sword or committing any real violence at all. Instead, they tear down the values of the system, the values that connect the people. They basically infiltrate and conquer the people from the leadership down. Is that not what is happening in most of the countries on the face of the earth today? Part of why these things are happening in most of the countries on the face of the earth today is because many of them don't recognize the true God as being their God. They rather worship false God. And for the countries that claim to worship the true God, they worship a little bit of them here and a little bit of them there. They take the truths of the true God and they mix it with lies. Chapter 26. And it came to pass in the 11th year, on the first day of the month, that the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, because Tyre has said against Jerusalem, Aha, she is broken, who was the gateway of the peoples. Now she is turned over to me. I shall be filled. She is laid waste. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, Behold, I am against you, O Tyre, and will cause many nations to come up against you as the sea causes its waves to come up. And they shall destroy the walls of Tyre and break down her towers. I will also scrape her dust from her and make her like the top of a rock. It shall be a place for spreading nets in the midst of the sea. For I have spoken, says the Lord God. It shall become plunder for the nations. Also her daughter villages, which are in the fields, shall be slain by the sword. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. For thus says the Lord God, Behold, I will bring against Tyre from the north Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, king of kings, with horses, with chariots, and with horsemen, and an army with many people. He will slay with the sword your daughter villages in the field. He will heap up a siege mound against you, build a wall against you, and raise a defense against you. He will direct his battering rams against your walls, and with his axes he will break down your towers. Because of the abundance of your horses, their dust will cover you. Your walls will shake at the noise of horsemen, the wagons and the chariot, when he enters your gates, as men enter a city that has been breached. With the hooves of his horses, he will trample all your streets. He will slay your people by the sword, and your strong pillars will fall to the ground. They will plunder your riches and pillage your merchandise. They will break down your walls and destroy your pleasant houses. They will lay your stones, your timber, and your soil in the midst of the water. I will put an end to the sound of your songs, and the sound of your harps shall be heard no more. I will make you like the top of a rock. You shall be a place for spreading nets, and you shall never be rebuilt. For I, the Lord, have spoken, says the Lord God. Thus says the Lord God to Tyre, will the coastlands not shake at the sound of your fall? When the wounded cry, when slaughter is made in the midst of you, then all the princes of the sea will come down from their thrones, lay aside their robes, and cast off their embroidered garments. They will clothe themselves with trembling. They will sit on the ground, tremble every moment, and be astonished at you. And they will take up a lamentation for you, and say to you, how you have perished, O one inhabited by seafaring men, O renowned city, who was strong at sea, she and her inhabitants, who caused their terror to be on all her inhabitants. Now the coastlands tremble on the day of your fall. Yes, the coastlands by the sea are troubled at your departure. For thus says the Lord God, when I make you a desolate city, like cities that are not inhabited, when I bring the deep upon you, and great waters cover you, then I will bring you down to those who descend into the pit, to the people of old, and I will make you dwell in the lowest part of the earth, in places desolate from antiquity, with those who go down to the pit, so that you may never be inhabited, and I shall establish glory in the land of the living. I will make you a terror, and you shall be no more, though you are sought, for you will never be found again, says the Lord God. I did a little research on the city of Tyre. I was unable to get to a library to try to research as much as I wanted to. However, Tyre is today in the sea. You have to go way, way, way down to find remnants of what is left of Tyre. But one of the things that I also learned, being a seaport, they did a lot of trading, and a part of their trading was also in human trafficking. They were a nuisance to the people of Israel, but they were a nuisance to many other nations at that time in human trafficking. When I think of all these things that God is saying, he's first dealing with our ancestors for the things that they were doing, setting their eyes on the nations around them and envying the nations around them, and forgot about the God who had kept them and built them up to be a peculiar people, a special nation, a holy nation, to teach and lead the world. They started living as the nations around them. Sexual perversion, sacrificing their children, sexual immorality, worshiping idol gods, and had turned their back on him, that he drove them out to Gentile nations all over the face of the earth. And now here we are today. What are some of the things God basically said to our ancestors? Because of the things that you have done, taking my children and sacrificed my children to false gods, taking on sexual immorality, pouring blood out in places that you sacrifice in the mountains, cooking with blood in your pots, all the abominable things he instructed them not to do. And as a result, he sent them to live among the nations who valued these things. Here we are today, being the descendants of the house of Israel in a land that is not our own. We don't have the ability to force anyone to properly drain the meat of blood before slaughtering it and putting it on our tables. That is, unless we own our own little farm and we or butchering our animals ourselves. We're eating things that God tells us are unclean for us, that we should not eat because it's unclean. But more than that, we also have a huge problem with sexual immorality. It's not enough that marriage has been defined for same-sex marriages. God tells us we're not to do these things. Man is not to lay with a man as he would a woman. A woman is not to lay with a woman as she does with a man. These laws now, within the borders of this country and in much of the world, are no longer recognized. In addition to that, we have bestiality. I was reading an article one day where this farmer, he was in his bed and he kept hearing his horse in the stable making noises. And he got up and went out to investigate and found a man there having sex with one of the horses. Upon researching this, a lot of states don't have and don't implement laws dealing with bestiality. God says that a man nor a woman is to have sex with an animal. Punishments are very rarely carried out, and if they are carried out, they're carried out in the form of maybe you do a little time in jail. There are people who've committed no violent crime and end up spending a lifetime in jail. I was reading an article the other day where a man in Alabama was given life in prison for stealing a hedger. He never committed a violent crime. However, he was given life in prison, and of all the time that he has been in prison now, he appealed to have his sentence commuted for time served. And he was told by the judge, well, after he spent all these years in prison, he might as well stay there now for life. Although he's turned into an old man now, justice are just not there anymore. We even have people who are attracted to having sex with dead bodies. And according to some scientists, it's just an attraction that some people have. They'd rather have sexual relations with a dead body before they do with a living body. Only a few states in America have strict laws against necrophilia. In addition to that, our country also, not just our country, but all over the world, suffer from human trafficking, people stealing your children for the sake of being attracted to having sex with children. It's not enough to have sex with somebody at the age of 12 or 10 years old. These days, they're even having sex with infants. I'll never forget, I woke up one morning to a news report as I was trying to enjoy my coffee, and the news report came out that a brother who was watching his niece, because his sister had gone off to work and she had just given birth to this child, and this child couldn't have been more than 3 or 4 months old, and he was babysitting his niece, and he started violating the child sexually, and the child died. These are the things that make you sick when you hear and you read about how the activities of people on this earth are becoming more and more debased as time goes on. And that is why God says he is bringing an end to the system of things in the world. Enough is enough. It's getting to the point that there are certain groups who want to have a child be able to decide for itself whether or not they are attracted to have sexual relations to an adult, a child. In other words, we are being told that the nucleus of the family that God created has no value anymore. If you have children in this world, you have no right to tell your child that they can't have sex as a 3-year-old. And you certainly can't teach your child this if they're an infant. And I'm sure this is not the first time this has happened. These things happen every day. We just don't hear about them every day. And that is why we have in this world two types of people. You have the people who want to live for God and live their lives according to the instructions of God. And then you have those who want to live their lives according to whatever makes you feel good. It's fine for you to do it. And it doesn't matter whose life you destroy in the process of trying to feel good. These are just a few of the things that I'm talking about happening in this world. They don't want you teaching your children about God, because for the people who want to live their lives based on their standards of happiness, what makes them feel good, they don't want you making them feel that what they're doing is wrong. They don't want to be judged for their behavior. And so what's the best way of not being judged for their behavior? The best way is to implement laws through the governments of most of these nations to silence those of us who say, hey, but this is what the Word of God says, we're not to do these things. They don't want to hear that. And right now, it seems as if Satan has the upper hand. He's winning with his agenda to legalize adults having sex with children, to legalize throughout the entire world. There is no God. You pray to a God how we say, the government says, you should pray to God. You don't have the right to believe that there is a creator God, and you certainly don't have the right to teach these principles and ideas to your children. If you do have a Bible, don't worry. We will eventually change it. It will become so watered down that when you read it, you won't get anything out of it. But this is what people are failing to realize. God has placed his people here on this earth. And even though many of us are scattered throughout the earth, it is innate within us to know the difference between what is right and what is wrong, to treat our fellow man as we would like to be treated, to do good and not do evil. And so all the laws you make will never change that. And I guess perhaps this is the reason that the effort now is to depopulate the world. Well, if we can't get you to go along with the agenda of not teaching a creator God, then the best thing to do is to eliminate you. So what will happen if they have their agenda and women simply decide, well, we just won't have any more children, period. Forget about abortions. We'll just get sterilized and have no more children at all. And as generation after generation goes on, you no longer have children to satisfy your sexual desires. The only thing you will end up having left, really, are dead bodies. And eventually, you won't have that left anymore either, because God is going to put an end to it. We know, as we go through these books, that our time is short on this earth. If you're going to make a decision to walk with God and not walk against him, now is the time to start doing so, to make the effort to walk in his ways and not follow after the Gentile nations on this earth. A lot of things are going to be happening between now until the time that the Messiah sets up his kingdom on the earth. Satan is determined to destroy God's people, to silence them. And God warns us about this from Genesis to Revelation, basically. In order to learn about them, we must, one, repent of the things that we're doing in our lives so that we can turn to him. And once we turn to him, ask him to forgive us of our sins against him. Start reading these books for ourselves so that we can learn what it is that we need to do in order to prepare for the return of the Messiah. Number two, start applying his instructions that we learn in our lives. And more than anything, we need to teach our children. We need to teach those we love. We need to teach our neighbors. Whoever will listen, we need to be educated enough to be able to fight within the spiritual battle for ourselves and for our loved ones. Because if we don't turn to God and ask him to be the source of our strength through these times that we are living in, we will surely be lost. Family members will be lost. Loved ones will be lost. And it is not God's desire that any of us should be lost. On our next podcast, we need to take a look at the Bible prophecies regarding these 3 days of darkness. Until then, I encourage you to reach out to God, pay attention to what is going on, and give up idolatry. It is Satan's intentions to keep your ears filled with other voices, voices that does not belong to the people of God and are not God's voice or the Messiah's or the Holy Spirit. So may God be with you and walk with you and guide you along the way as you seek out His desire for your life, His instructions to you to fulfill the desires that He wants for you, and that is to give you a life and give you peace. May God be with you as you go in search of His instructions.